back in September last year. She came from Florida, and let me tell you something. She had a heart transplant before she came back. She believed in the Lord. She loved the Lord. But when she came, something happened, and her whole life changed. She came back, said, I'm serving in food pantry. I bet you if Miss Brenda would have made that announcement, she'd have been up here singing or playing an instrument or whatever. She just wanted to serve God. And can I tell you, when you fall in love with the Lord, you want to serve. It's just that simple. And I want to encourage you, if you do have a gift, if you can't sing, man, Chuck, then don't volunteer, all right? Just throwing that out there. He's been begging for 23 years. But if you can sing, then you have a desire, let's put it that way, to glorify God. There should be a desire to use it to glorify the King. Amen? If you play an instrument, there's a reason why you play that instrument, to bring him glory and honor. That's what it's for. It's not for you. It's not about you. It's about what he has done in you and through you and what he's doing. That gift to teach or to preach, if you're supposed to pastor. Listen, we just speak the name of Jesus over every gift in here, that it would stand up, rise up, and say, right now, I'm all done playing games. Right now, whatever God has given me, I'm going to give it to him and use it for his glory and his glory alone. We've had a couple of years where so many people were running and scattering, but I really believe right now is the time that God is reunifying. He is bringing the body of Christ back together stronger than what it was before. Because you know what we saw in the last couple of years? We saw some weaknesses. We saw where people backed down. They backed away. They didn't stand on the word of God, proclaim the word of God, and love the word of God and say, I don't care what anybody else does. I'm going to serve. I'm going to stand on his promises. Churches closed. A whole bunch of them have closed because of fear. Tell your neighbor, say, I ain't scared. Listen, we got one shot at this life, and that's it. All we have is one shot. What day you go home to be with the Lord, I don't care. Just so we're clear. I don't care if you die today. You know Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior. Amen? Right? So you win. You win. I care about them that never heard. And in order for them to be set free, you are going to have to do what God's called you to do. That's the key. What day I go, look at it, if I drive my way of going, I want to be preaching. As soon as I say amen, wham, go home. That's what I want to do. So I ask the Lord, that's all I want to do. Lord, I just want to be preaching your word all the way to the end. I want to love my God all the way to the end. I want to preach his word all the way to the end. I want to love my wife all the way to the end. I want to bring up my children and my grandchildren in fear and admonition of the Lord all the way to the end. No sidestepping, no detours, just him all the way to the end. Amen? It's all I want to do. It's easy when he's in charge. I'm a basket case when I'm in charge. Just being honest, right, Bren? She did that. I don't know. She's pleading the fifth. Well, I just want to encourage you. I pray that God, listen, if you were suffering from depression when you came in here, right now you're not in the name of Jesus. Because that name destroys the power of the enemy. Whatever you've been anxious for, let it go in the name of Jesus. Whatever it was, whatever it was, you let it go. Hey, Dan, could you do me a favor, you and Ann? Just go over there and lay hands on my mom and pray for healing. Listen, everyone here, do you have the power? Art and Suzanne, you want to lay hands on mom? Just go lay hands on her because I believe that there's power. Miss Kathy had a dream last night, right? And we're going to act on the word of God. How many want to act on the word of God? Right? She had a dream my mom was healed. I believe that's a God thing. I just believe that's a God thing. So let's act on it, right? What are we coming to church for? Are we coming just to hear a nice little sermon? Thank God for that. We're coming to change lives, amen? This is what we're doing. This is what God's called us to do. And he said, just step out in faith and do it. Right? He said, proclaim his name over all the earth. That's what we were doing today. Then he said, if there's any sick among you, lay hands on them, right? And they shall recover. That's what the word of God says. That's what we want to do. Tom and Kendra, come here. Just lay hands on Pastor Mike there and just pray for his healing, because he needs to get his back right and his arms right and his head right and his feet right, and he needs to get everything right, all right? Just lay hands on him. Mike Hansen, go over there with him and lay hands on him. Come on. Listen, let's just do church and not do religion. Amen? Let's just do church. Look at, they don't care who's watching. They don't care what you think right now. They're acting on the word of God and just doing the word of God. How simple is that? See, these are the heroes of faith that stand up in the middle of a crowd and say, I'll preach Jesus. I'll lay hands on the sick and I'll believe for the healing, and we'll stand in agreement with the word of God. Amen? Ah, and can I tell you, you know where the greatest blessing comes? Through an act of obedience. That's all it takes. You don't do the work. Tell your neighbor, say, you couldn't do it if you tried. You couldn't. He does it all. Everything that needs to be accomplished, he does. Right? What did he say on Calvary? It is what? Finished. It still has to be done by you. That's what he said. He said, you have to do it in your own strength. You have to do it in your ability. You have to do it in your wisdom. You have to do. No, he said, I did it all. Will you agree with me and then enjoy what I have given you? Right? Acts chapter 2. Turn to your Bibles in Acts chapter 2. Oh, I'm just having fun today. How about you? Man, I'm telling you, he just loves you. He adores you. You're the answer to every lost person outside these four walls. Yeah, but Pastor, I don't know the word that well. Start reading it. Start studying it. And whatever you know, just give them that. Because all you've got to do is speak Jesus over their lives. He'll go into action and transform them by the power of his word. Amen? Not us. Thank goodness. It's all because of him. Acts chapter 2, verse 1 through 4, a very familiar passage. You know, Pastor Jeff preached last week that we're blessed. Amen? How many agree that you're blessed this morning? Great word last week. You are blessed. Why are you blessed? You're blessed to bless. It's that simple. If he has already supplied all you have need of, then stop crying out for more. This ain't about hoarding it. Amen? This is about taking it and sowing it into his kingdom. The gift, that's why my wife is doing this and others doing this class on worship. You see, because if you can sing, that's a gift that God's deposited. That's not so you can sit there and hoard it and sing in the shower. Your neighbor's called. It's not what that gift is for when you want to use it. That gift is for his glory. An instrument, whatever it is, this is all he wants. He wants all of his kids to get up and bring him glory. He wants all of his kids to stand up and proclaim his name over every situation and watch him go to work. That's what he's looking for. And Pastor Jeff last week, he said, we are blessed. And today we're blessed to bless. It's that simple. Everything you have is his. I don't know what you have, and I don't care. That's between you and the Father. But everything he has given you, you're a steward of. Can we agree? So we have to ask a question. Are we stewarding what we have for our own desires? I'm going to look at the camera this morning. And just so nobody, only you guys can feel, you know, condemned and guilty out there, but not these guys in here. But what you're using, the reason why we want more is why? Is it for our own gratification, satisfaction? Is it so that we can look or be seen or have or sit back some more and try to collect more for ourselves? Or is it, Lord, bless us so I can be a blessing? Lord, everything else, I think it was John Wesley. I can't remember which one off the top of my head. He figured out when he was preaching, the church started to grow. He was running a Methodist movement. He said, this is what we need for our house payment. This is what we need for our food. This is what we need for the electric and the bills and stuff. He figured it all up. And he said, now we'll take no more. Everything else will go into the ministry. I believe that each one of you have a ministry. Every single one. It is not my ministry. This is just him. I'm only walking in what God's called me to do. So to look at our lives and say, how can I? And God gives us opportunities, doesn't he? He always gives us opportunities. Pastor Jeff, you know, the timing belt went in his Honda, in his minivan. And so we have three cars. Okay, here you go, Jeff. Take my car. How long? How long is it going to take for your minivan to get fixed? I don't know. Neither do I then. Because it's not my car. It's his. And if there's a need, now don't be asking me for the rest of them, okay? But you see, God will always give you an opportunity to see if you want to hang on to something. If you want to control something. Somebody isn't worthy to drive your vehicle. Doesn't matter. See, well, what about my cost? Does God meet your need? So it's not about the cost. It's not about the cost. See, my gas money is going to double lending patent. It's not about bragging or none of that stuff. But my gas will double driving my pickup truck rather than the car that Pastor Jeff is going to drive. But if there's no cost, what am I giving? Right? If there's no cost to you, then have we given anything? It's like tithing, it's not yours, right? The tithe is not your 10%, that's not yours. What you give above and beyond, that's something that costs you. And God takes that and he blesses it above and beyond. But do we believe that? Or is it, no, you don't understand. I'm just getting by. Why are we just getting by? Why is it that we're just getting by? Is it because we don't know how to handle finances, or is it because we've decided that we want whatever we want at any cost and we don't care where we're going to go with this? Are we holding on to, are we chasing after what the world is chasing after? Are we taking what we have and saying, Father, more for your kingdom? More so that you're glorified? More so that one mere more hears the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? We support ministries in Iraq and Egypt and Guatemala and India. You know, a lot of what comes in, we send around the world, and we want to keep sending around the world. Keep sending around the world. We want to plant more churches, but that means more of you men are going to have to stand up and say, I'm going to walk out the calling of God in my life, and I'm all done chasing what I want. The only thing that stops men from going out and building the kingdom of God is doing what you want. Ask me how I know. Because I was doing what I want, what I thought. What I desired. And then God started to change everything. And then you know what? Some men said, you need to grow up some more. You need to get out of this house. You need to go to Hudson. Scared the tar out of me. Petrified. We got here, church went from 45 to 20. I was feeling real encouraged. I told the Lord, I told you I'd ruin it. I'm not qualified. I'm not good enough. And the Lord said, well, you're not. But I am in you. And I'll use what you'll give me to glorify myself, and things will change. And so I cried and I wept and I said, you sure you don't have somebody else in mind? He said, no, not now. Not yet. And then God started doing what he wanted through an act of obedience. And I want you to know, one act of obedience on your end. Darren was witnessing to a young lady, I don't know how young or old, whatever, happened to be into some of the occultic practices. He said, no, I don't want none of that stuff you're in. He just kept praying for her, witnessing to her. And 2 weeks ago, she accepted Christ. You see, when we just do what God called us to do. And then she says, hey, there's some neighbors moved in from North Carolina. They need a church too. You might better go talk to them. Isn't that incredible how God uses one man to change someone who's living in deep, deep darkness? And then as soon as that light shines, led her to cry, hey, there's another family over here. Isn't that beautiful? One person gets changed. And then they start directing you to where God wants you to go next. Someone a couple hours old in Christ saying, hey, you need to go see them too. Isn't that beautiful? See, this is what God is doing. When one person obeys what he said and acts it out, even in the midst when someone says, I don't want nothing to do with you, shut up, I don't want your Jesus. Right? Come to find out, they were hurt by the church and went a different direction. See, that seed was down in there. What comes out of here is one thing, but what's in the heart is a whole nother. You're to look at the heart and keep preaching Christ. You're to keep loving no matter how they respond. It doesn't matter. And we stand on the power of God. Darren and Carrie, their son, had a seizure and ended up going to the hospital. They couldn't stop it. They didn't know what was going on. But God. But God. She's learned to rejoice in the midst of the storm a little bit more, huh? How many know when things go wrong, sometimes we say things that don't necessarily, not her, I'm talking about you, that don't necessarily line up with the word of God. What are the thoughts that come? I was, oh, this is a piece of cake for God, don't worry about it. As your son's sitting there and his face is jumping up and down and he's throwing up and he's having convulsions. What are the thoughts that come to our mind? I want to encourage you this morning. Make sure that at that time you start to worship and proclaim what the truth is over that baby's life, no matter what it looks like. Why? Because we speak Jesus over every situation. I don't know what's going on with your family members, but I guarantee you start speaking Jesus over your family members, things are going to start to change. It might get ugly first. Look at how ugly you got just before you got saved. You were mean, man. And then finally it broke. Okay, so we're blessed to bless. Tell your neighbor, say, you're blessed to bless. That's what we're here for. Everything that God, we are blessed so that we can bless. We take teams, go down around the world, and we just sow. Puerto Rico with a flood, Mississippi, Texas, Louisiana. And then around the world, all we do is take everything that we have and we give it. Everything that we are and we sow it every time we go. The only thought is to go and be a blessing. And I'm so grateful for our teenagers. They work their tails off and they save their money and they save all their money so they can go dig a trench and pour concrete on a mountain in Guatemala. When's the last time you saved all your money to go do that? That's what they do. I'm just so proud of each and every one of them. And you know what? They don't even complain because you're not there. And they know I'm not going to listen to it anyway. So if you were there, they'd complain a lot, but you're not there. And it's wonderful when you're not there because you're doing a great job with your kids. And they work and they pray and they preach and they do everything they're asked with no complaining, at least not to me. Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. So when the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place, and suddenly there came from heaven a noise like a violent rushing wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them as tongues of fire, distributing themselves, and they rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and started to speak in tongues, and with other tongues, as the Spirit was giving them utterance. This is where we've been blessed, right? Salvation, first of all. Listen, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, it's a great place to receive him. And it's simple. It's very simple. God made it simple for us. Thank God he did that. Amen? He didn't make it difficult. Religion makes it very difficult. Jesus made it very simple. He said, repent, stop doing what you were doing, Ask him to forgive you of your sins and ask him to be the Lord of your life. Done. Every curse is broken at that time. That's some powerful faith right there. Amen. Every curse broken off of your life the moment you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Maybe you've been walking around, you feel like there's a curse. It's a family curse. I want you to know you can get set free from that today. I don't care how dark and dastardly it is. I don't care how many centuries or how many generations. Oh, that's the way my great-granddaddy was, my granddaddy, my daddy. People come up with all kinds of reasons and they give so much power to the enemy. But I believe there's more power in the name of Jesus Christ. And God just wants to break that stuff off. So if you don't know him this morning, don't leave without it. And then God gives us the blessing of the Holy Ghost. Because when we're weak, he is strong. Amen? And he gives us a spirit to lead and to guide and to keep us. And then in John 7, 37 to 39, it says, now on the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, if anyone is thirsty, let him come unto me and drink. And he who believes in me, as the scripture said, from this innermost being will flow rivers of living water. But this he spoke of the Spirit, whom those whom believed in him were to receive. You were to receive. Those who believe in him, you are to receive the Holy Ghost. Amen? That's what he said. He said, look it, repent and then be baptized, every single one. If you haven't been baptized, I just did a baptism on Saturday. Lady came down, she said, I want to get baptized. Miss Kia brought her down, and we baptized her. And she came up out of that water screaming and yelling, Jesus. Because everything changed in one moment. The Bible says, behold, all things have become new. New. She said, I don't care if anybody's here. I want to be here, and I want to get baptized. Hot dog, let's fill it up. We filled it up, we baptized her. Why? Because whatever the need is, let's go meet the need. Right? Oh, hang on a second. We got to have the church here, and we got to make sure that. No. How many here can baptize? You're doggone right. Okay, just making sure. Just making sure. Because if somebody comes up to you and says, I need to get baptized, say, come on, wham. Baptize them. You don't have to call me and say, Pastor, are we supposed to baptize? Tell me what the scripture says. Repent and be baptized. Make sure they repented. Make sure they believe in Jesus Christ and then get them baptized. Yeah, but Pastor, listen, over in India, they dig a hole in the ground. Muddy water, and these people kneel down in it and they baptize them in that muddy water. Why? Because that's an act of surrender in the Indian culture. Now all of a sudden their families are turned away from them. They can lose their jobs and people want to kill them once they get baptized. So this is what the word of God says, right? To receive him, to repent, be baptized, every one of you. And then here in John chapter 7, excuse me, because he spoke this of the Spirit whom those who believed in him were to receive. You were to receive the Holy Ghost. For the Spirit was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. This is what God's plan was for each one of our lives. When Jesus ascended on high to the Father, he said, hey, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. He's going to lead you, guide you, teach you. He's going to empower you. Anything you have need of, he's going to help you with. I don't know about you, but this week, we were in prayer. We had a great time in prayer, and I said, Lord, what do you want me to do? Holy Ghost, what do you want me to do? And he gave me two things, and then he was done. I said, all right, because he's only looking for the obedience in those two things. Those two things had to do with other people. No problems, just two things I had to take care of. Took care of both of them, because I'm not asking him again until I do what I'm supposed to do. But I know now he can trust me to do what he's telling me to do. Isn't that what we do with our kids? You go put your shoes by the door. Okay. They didn't put the shoes by the door. The next day, I told you, go put your shoes by the door. They don't do it again. Then they come and they say, can I have the keys to the car? No. You can't put your shoes by the door. Not giving you that. What, are you out of your mind? God wants to know that we're going to be obedient to what he's called us to do. And when we're obedient, then he just gives us more and more to do. Because then if he can get it through you, he can get it to you, right? So therefore, the more that he calls you to do, the more he's going to give to you so that you can go and do it. How many have been praying for a word of knowledge and a word of wisdom to give somebody? How many have chickened out and didn't give it when the Holy Spirit said to speak? Many times. People crying out, oh God, use me. Okay, go give that person one. I don't know if this is you. I'm the one that told you. Yeah, but Lord, is this really you? Give me a sign. What, do you want to be swallowed by the whale? I gave you the Spirit. Now go listen to the Holy Spirit and give him the word. It's real simple. Oh, I don't want to put my shoes by the door. I'm too afraid. Maybe he said, hey, go give it away. Give what away? Your best. What? It must be the devil. I've worked so hard for the best. The best is for me. That's to make my life nice, make my life easier, to make my life more glorious. And the Holy Spirit say, hey, I just want you to give that up. What? Is that you, Lord? And we go back to bed like Samuel. We come back again and again and again. And then we have to have somebody else come and confirm the word. But God wants us to listen to him. Amen? Jesus said in verse 37 there of John chapter 7. He said, now on the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, if anyone is thirsty, let him come unto me and drink. You know what he was saying? Come and drink and drink and drink and drink and drink. Don't stop drinking. He didn't say, come and take a little sip. He said, if you're thirsty, come on. I got all you need. I got everything you need for your life. Come and drink, because I want you so filled. Why? Why did he want us filled with him? He said, because you're going to become a fountain of living water. See, so he wants to fill each one of us so we can bless others, right? So we're blessed to be blessed. Or I'm sorry, we're blessed to bless. That's what God's done for us. Everything he gives, he said, come on, keep drinking. Guzzle. Don't stop. Get in my presence. Get in the word. Spend time in prayer. Enjoy me. Don't stop drinking. Don't stop believing how much I love you. Don't stop proclaiming all of my promises over your life. Keep drinking. Keep drinking. Keep drinking. Keep drinking. Don't stop. Guzzle. Come on, hammer it down. Fill yourself, because I want you so full of my word. I want you filled with the Spirit of God. So everywhere you walk, you're just a fountain. And everybody around you hears of the goodness of God. Everybody hears about every curse that was broken off of you. Everybody hears how anxiety is no longer a part of your life, because you drank from him. You drank from that well that never runs dry. A lot of people are still confused when it comes to the Lord Jesus Christ. No matter how much is out there. You know, some in Jesus' day, some believed, some were confused, and some were opposed to it, to the Lord Jesus Christ. Sounds like today, amen? Jesus said, come unto me and drink and drink. If the church would just spend time, the only thing we listened to was worship and praise. The only songs we're allowed in. The only thing that we read, we just spend time just reading the word of God. Put the rest of it aside. And we just read the word of God. We spend time in worship just drinking from that vine. And just changing that, the way that we think, so that the Holy Spirit, and someone say, well, I don't know, you know, this is what I like, right? That's when the flesh comes in. Because he said you were supposed to walk by the Spirit, and those that walk by the Spirit are the sons of God. And so those that walk by the flesh, they satisfy the lust of the flesh, and therefore nobody's life around us is transformed and changed by the power of God's love. But God wants us to drink from him, because he knows that the more we drink of him, the greater that well will be, and the overflow will be transforming people's lives like crazy. Knowing the love of the Lord, what are we going to fill ourselves up with? How far, how long is the love of the Lord going to last? From everlasting to everlasting. Forever and ever, his love never stops. The power of the Spirit is limitless. The mercy of the Lord is brand new every morning. He is pouring out grace upon grace in your life. Grace upon grace. It didn't stop. It didn't end. It's grace upon grace. It's still coming today. Yeah, but you don't know. Pastor, you don't understand. I blew it. He knows that. He understands we're going to blow it. But he said grace upon grace, meaning that he forgave you of your sins And he's going to forgive you of your sins. And he's going to forgive you of your sin. And he's going to forgive you of your sin. And you see, when the law comes in, every time the law comes in, idols are made. Every time the law comes, idols are made. Go read the Old Testament. Idols weren't there until the law came. When the law comes, idols are made. God wants us to walk free in his gift called grace. In Proverbs 10:22, which is a very familiar one, it said, the blessings of the Lord are rich, and it adds what? No sorrow. You see, when we walk through tough times, we know that when we walk with the Lord, he's going to work all things together for good for those that trust in him, right? John 1:17, it says, for the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. So the law was given through Moses, but truth and grace came. The law was given in two stone tablets, but then grace came and invaded our lives. We didn't have to go and try to get it. We didn't have to go and try to grab a hold of it. It came into our lives. Grace and truth filled us when Jesus Christ entered in. And everything changed on that moment. The law is based on works. Grace and truth are based on rest. See, because if you don't feel righteous this morning, and you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then you're still looking at it from a works perspective. Because the Bible says, Jesus said, it's finished. Now enter into my rest. Right? Everything that needed to be done for your righteousness was done at the cross of Jesus Christ. We say, I have to do some more. We go back under the law. It's easy to go under the law. It's easy to try to do things in our own strength, but that's not what God wanted. Because when we go back under the law, all of a sudden we start to work harder and harder and harder. Guess what? When you work, God rests. When you rest, God works. Now, I don't mean that you walk around, you don't do anything, okay? We're not talking about the government and their silliness. Talk about the word of God. When you work, God waits. He rests until you start to agree with him. And when he said, it's finished, you're complete, you're whole, you're free indeed, you're loved, you're mighty to the pulling down of strongholds, nothing will be impossible. I've called you, I've appointed you, I've anointed you, I've filled you, I made you whole. All of these things I did so that I would be glorified through you. Every time that we start to work, we start to get back under the law. The law always produces those idols. Because in our flesh we look and we say, look what I have done. No one can glory in the flesh before the Father. We've got to remind everyone, look what he has done. Grace always produces rest. And we begin by enjoying the work of another. Isn't that incredible? Your salvation starts by enjoying the work of another. Everything that you had need of. Right? And God prophesied and he spoke that stuff in Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verses 10 to 12. It said, God said, so it shall be when the Lord your God brings you into the land of which he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you large and beautiful cities which you did not build, houses full of good things which you did not fill, hewn out wells which you did not dig, vineyards and olive trees which you did not plant, when you have eaten and are full, then beware lest you forget the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage. God brings them out and he brings them into a place. So God supplies their houses, their wells, their food, everything they have need of. When they left Egypt, were they broke? No, they weren't. They took all the gold and silver that Egypt had. And they didn't take it. They gave it to them on the way out. They said, here, just take it and go worship your God. Get out of here. Petrified. The sacrifice had already been made. The blood was on the lentils. They filled them with gold and silver, and there wasn't one feeble one among them. See, when God brings you out of Egypt, which Egypt is always a form of sin, when God brings you out, you're not feeble any longer. Maybe somebody said, you're worthless, you're useless, you're feeble, you're weak, you're pathetic, you're a failure. Maybe they said all of those things, but when you came out of Egypt into Christ, you're none of those things anymore. You are strong and beautiful and mighty. You're created by your God. You are fantastically made by the King of Glory. And there is nothing you have need of from that day forward. Joshua 24, we see the culmination of it. Because in Deuteronomy chapter 6, it said, so it shall be when the Lord, he's speaking of the future. And then in Joshua 24, 13, he said, I have given you. Well, that's good news, isn't it? He gave us salvation. I have given you salvation. I've given you the Spirit. I've given you authority over all the principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. I've given it all to you. He took care of it all. He said, no matter where you walk, I'm going to go before you and I'm going to prepare a way. There's going to be places that you walk into. You're going to find places. You're going to go into stores and stuff. And you're going to go into people's houses and you're going to get blessed going in and blessed coming out. That's what the scripture said. You think you're going to go in there and be a blessing, but you're going to get blessed on the way in and on the way out. This is what God does. Why? Because he's the one that's supplying. He's setting it up. Everything you have need of, he's already preparing for you ahead of time. He said, I have given you a land for which you did not labor and cities which you did not build, and you dwell in them. You eat of the vineyards and olive groves which you did not plant. Man, he's a good supplier, isn't he? Oh. In John 10:10, he said, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that you may have life, and you may have it what? More abundantly. I don't know about you, but when God says more abundantly, that's a little more than I understand. Right? Because what is life? In John chapter 17 and verse 3, it says, life is knowing Jesus Christ. So when we come to know God and know Jesus Christ, therefore, when we come to know them, the abundant life begins at that moment. The abundant life is not about finances. The church in America has gotten a little bit confused on that. Does he supply our needs? Yes. Are we abundantly blessed in America? I'll say very much so. And God does meet those needs also. He loves us to have. But his desire is that you would walk in the Spirit. And therefore, no matter where you walk, whatever he gives, we take and we use it in order to expand his kingdom. It's not about giving just so we can have and we can go bigger and better. That's where the body of Christ has gotten confused. And some of the preaching has gotten a little bit twisted. Because we are blessed beyond compare here. I've been to a few countries. Even the poor here are wealthy. They tell us a lot of lies on television. They tell a lot of lies about what they have determined they want you to believe you are. But the word of God trumps everything else that man says, because you are rich in Christ Jesus. You are rich in Christ Jesus. Your eternity is already taken care of. He's going to prepare a place for you. He's pretty powerful. I don't know what kind of place he's building for you. He can only use what you give him. What are we giving him? Are we giving him our all? The Spirit of God was given to us to remind us continually. He's going to remind you of what God's called you to do. He's going to remind you of the call of God on your life. This week, I just want to encourage you to ask him, say, Father, I don't know where my mind has been, where my eyes have been, or where my heart has been, but if any one of those has not been given to you completely, because I know it's your heart that none perish, but all come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, and I know that you've already blessed me with every spiritual blessing, and I know you've already made a way where there seems to be no way, and you've taken such good care of me. Now, Father, help me to get back on track. What is it that I've given myself to? What is it that has distracted me? What is it that maybe has grabbed a hold of my heart so that I've held back? Lord, I want to drink from you again. I just want to drink you. I want your word and worship. I want a time in your Holy Ghost when I stand before your very throne room and see you face to face. And I'm reminded of all that you have promised me. Psalm 67, David had an understanding of this. In verses 1 and 2, he said, God, be gracious to us and bless us. Ooh, I like that. David said, be gracious to me and bless me. He said, and cause his face to shine upon us. And then verse 2, that your way may be known on the earth. That your way, see, once again, he wanted to get blessed so he could bless. Oh, God, bless us. Let us see your face. Father, fill us that you'll be known in all the earth. Because when you bless us, when you fill us, I'm telling everybody about it. And I'm going to take what you have given me, the gift and the talent, and I'm going to use it for your glory and for your kingdom. Whatever you put in my hands, Father, I want to use it for your glory. Matthew 5:16, it says, let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and what? And glorify the Father. Look at that. Let your light shine in such a way before man. You're supposed to be that light in the darkness. For what purpose? So that God's glorified. Right? You're blessed to bless. God said, you're the salt of the earth. You give it flavor. You're the Flavor Flav in America. You're the salt of the earth. When you walk in, everything looks different. When you walk in, everything tastes different. The bitterness of life starts to fade because you bring the love of God. The hurts and the pain start to get healed because you bring the power of God and the truth of God when you walk in. He said, you're the salt. You change everything. You ever eat food that didn't have no salt on it? French fries just ain't the same. They ain't even worth eating without salt. Life ain't worth living without being the salt of the earth. Amen. Living like the heathen do doesn't count. That's living without salt. That's walking through life without being salt in this earth. But God said, you're the salt of the earth so that he would be glorified. He said, you are the light of this world. He's the light of the world. You are that light that goes before him. You're salt and you are light. You change everything when you walk into a room. That's who you are when you take what you have and you give it to your king. Right believing produces right living. If you don't believe you're the salt of the earth, then you won't live like it. And how many people are not living like they know they are the salt of the earth, that they bring flavor when they walk in. They bring joy when they walk in. They bring peace when they walk in. They bring encouraging words when they walk in. So when you walked in today, I pray that you were encouraged by everybody you came in contact with. And if you didn't bring a word this morning, make sure that you have one before you leave. Because I know the God that lives on the inside of you. So before you walk out of here, you encourage somebody. And if you go to the diner, when you get out of here, you make sure you encourage each and every one that comes near your table. Guy walking down the street this morning, I said, hey, church first. Oh, no, don't go to your church. I said, you should. I'm going to encourage him. Why? Because I know that being around you guys, you're the salt and the light, and you'll change his life forever. I know that the love of God, because you've been drinking from the well. That Carmen song, right? That old Carmen song for some of you that were back there then. I've been drinking from the well. I forget the rest of it. I sang it this morning. Oh, yeah, it's that life-giving, living water that flows from God above. You can't find it on Wall Street, that sweet relief. It ain't. Can't find it on Wall Street, that sweet relief. It's worth more than all the oil in the Middle East. There ain't nothing alcoholic. Makes you feel no pain. It's the Holy Ghost and fire flowing through your veins. It's the well. That's what it is. Yeah, I used to sing backup for Carmen. And, but it's the truth. You see, you're free when you can glorify him and you don't care. You're free. We said freedom. It was for freedom that Christ set us free. That freedom was so that you would do what was right. You would have right thoughts, right words, right actions. Nobody else controls or consumes you because you're walking in the light as he is the light. Colossians 2:2, quickly. It says, my purpose is that they may be encouraged in heart and united in love so that they may, tell your neighbor, say, so that they may have the full riches of complete understanding in order that they may, tell your neighbor, say, that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ. See, all that God wants to do, you're blessed to bless that they may know. Everywhere you walk, it's that they may know, that they may hear, that they may be set free. Look at John 17:21 in closing. It says that they may all be one. See, you're sitting next to somebody that may look different than you, act different than you, has a different job than you, grew up different from you. Jesus came that they may. Tell your neighbor, say, that's you. Tell your other neighbor, say, yep, you too. All right? That they may be one. Right? You're here. You are such a, tell your neighbor, say, you're a blessing. Now put out your hand and say, now bless me. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. My wife's hand went out fast. She had both of them out. She had both of them out. You're a blessing. You've been drinking from the well. You're the salt and the light of the world. That's who you are. So when you go home today, you better just start drinking some more. Crank up that worship on the way home. Crank it up on the way to the diner and fill yourself up with the love of God. Just start to drink in all that he is. He said, don't stop drinking because you're the fountain of life. That's who you are. He said, even as you, Father, and me, and I in you, even as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you sent me. That they also may. Jesus came to set us free. He said, now go set them free. Drink from the well. That they may receive from the fountain of Christ that lives on the inside of you. Amen. Stand up this morning. Drink from that well this morning. Drink from that well this morning. You are blessed to bless. Close your eyes this morning. Just enjoy him. And then I want you to ask him, Holy Spirit, what do you want me to do? One thing you want me to do today. I don't know what that'll be. Maybe it'll be forgive somebody. And maybe you're going to have to go to that person and say, I need to ask you to forgive me for holding bitterness towards you. I don't know what it is, what the Holy Spirit's going to ask you to do. Maybe he's going to tell you to go pray for somebody. Maybe he's going to tell you to go prophesy over someone. Maybe he's going to say, go sow something into someone's life. I don't know what he's going to ask you. But with your eyes closed this morning, just you and the Holy Ghost, just close your eyes and enjoy him for another moment. He's here. He said where two or more are gathered, his presence is there. He wants to manifest himself in you and through you. Will you let him today? That they may. Oh, will you allow the king to come in? To have his way where we surrender all, knowing that we're blessed to bless. And no matter what tomorrow brings, he's already got provision there waiting. No matter what's going on in your family, he said, don't worry. You keep trusting in me and I'm going to work it out. He said, where you see a dead end, oh, I'm blazing a new trail. He's called each one. And I'm reminded that after Pentecost, Scripture says that Peter stood up. He had to stand up as an act of faith before he preached. And the Holy Spirit filled him. He stood up and the Holy Spirit filled him. And he proclaimed the name of Jesus Christ. 3,000 were added to the kingdom. Sometimes you're going to have to stand up. Whatever God's asking you to do, I don't know what it is. Maybe it's to get rid of something. A distraction. I want to encourage you, whatever the Holy Ghost speaks to you, do it and do it quickly. It's for your liberation. It's for your transformation. It's for the saving of souls. It's for the glorifying of the King. It's getting our eyes off of ourselves and putting them, just fixing them on Him, that He is the ultimate goal. He is our treasure. He is our rock. He is our Savior, our God, our Father, our King. There's none like Him. Our greatest treasure, the pearl of great price. What's He asking you to lay down? What's He asking you to pick up? He's desiring to set each one of us free, that they may know, that they may hear, that they may receive, that they may be set free, that they will rejoice, that their families will in turn be set free. Oh, church, let's live in such a way that they may be set free. He said the fields are white unto harvest, but the workers are few. Pray to the Lord. Pray for the workers to come and to go out into them fields and receive. Father, I thank You for the gift of God in this house, for each and every one here. And Lord, we pray Your blessing upon each one. Father, for those that don't know You, let them not leave until they come and we pray with them. And Father, for the rest, that they walk out of here knowing that they're salt and they're light, that they may. Lord, that they walk out of here filled with the authority of God, filled with power, set free. And as they just speak Jesus over every situation, transformation comes in everybody's life they come in contact with this week. We give You the glory this morning. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.